Thank you for standing by, and welcome to KONE's 2018 results conference call. During the introduction hosted by Mr. João Dolores, KONE's Chief Corporate Center Officer, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the introduction, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty in hearing the conference at any time, please press star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. João Dolores. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for attending KONE's conference call for the 2018 full year results. Together with me today, I have the CFOs of our businesses, Rui Almeida from KONE MC, Miguel Águas from Horta, Miguel Moreira from KONE Sports and Fashion, Luís Mota Duarte from KONE Tierra, and also our investor relations team. Before we go over the results, I would just like to make a couple of quick technical remarks. The first one has to do with KONE Tierra. As you know, Q4 was the first quarter in which we fully consolidated KONE Tierra into our statutory profit and loss account, following the acquisition of an additional 20% stake in the business at the end of Q3. A second note on our segments. This is the last quarter in which we will report as KONE MC in its former configuration. As you know, KONE MC now has a new perimeter, which also includes Maxmat and most real estate assets which were under KONE ERP up until now. From Q1 onwards, we will begin reporting our accounts with this new configuration. Having said this, I will now guide you through our 2018 results, and then open up the session for Q&A. Overall, KONE had a quite positive year, with strong growth, improving profitability, and increased financial strength. I will start by covering the highlights from the individual businesses, and then I will go over KONE's consolidated figures. Starting with KONE MC. KONE MC had the best sales performance of the past 10 years, with turnover growing 7.1% and reaching 4.2 billion euros. This top-line performance was supported by a like-for-like sales growth of 2.8%, significantly above market inflation, and means that the business continued to gain market share in a highly competitive environment. Q4 was actually a quarter of acceleration, with a like-for-like growth of 3.6%. Underlying EBITDA improved to 228 million euros, with a stable margin at 5.5%. This means we were able to offset the impacts of both the strong competitive environment and the continuing expansion effort, namely through our proximity format, Continente Bom Dia. Health and wellness continued to be one of the company's main growth avenues, and already in 2019, KONE MC acquired 60% of Hernal. I recall that Hernal is a Spanish player operating in the parapharmacy and perfumery market, and is an important milestone in the development of our international strategy in the health and wellness space. KONE ERP, as I said before, KONE ERP will start to be consolidated, considered under KONE MC's new segment from 2019 onwards. But during Q4, KONE ERP closed two sale and leaseback transactions involving six assets, generating total proceeds of 83 million euros and capital gains of 37 million euros. Freehold of KONE MC stood at 43% at the end of 2018. Regarding Horta also had a quite positive year, hitting a record sales level of over 1.1 billion euros, an increase of 8% year-on-year and 5.6% like-for-like. Underlying EBITDA increased to 35 million euros, which equates to a 3.2% margin, practically the same level as last year. This was an important year for Horta in what regards the development of its digital capabilities, and also its online offering, namely with the launch of a new marketplace, which enables the business to significantly extend its offering range. E-commerce sales continued to perform very well and grew at double-digit rates in both Portugal and Spain. Regarding KONE Sports and Fashion, 2018, as you know, was a challenging year for the whole fashion sector. But KONE Sports and Fashion ended the year on a very positive note. In Q4, the business grew clearly above the market. Total sales increased 7.9% year-on-year and 7.2% like-for-like, implying full-year sales of 369 million, a 2% growth when compared to 2017. Underlying EBITDA increased 2.5 million euros year-on-year in the quarter, reaching 15 million euros in the year, which represents a 4% overall margin. Just a quick note on ISRG, which is reported under Sonae Sports and Fashion through the equity method. ISRG has a different calendar in terms of accounts closing, and because of this, we only consolidated three quarters of ISRG accounts this year. And in these three quarters, turnover increased 9.5% year-on-year to 411 million euros, and EBITDA margin stood at 5.4%, a level which is below our expected run rate, basically due to a number of one-off effects this year, namely the reconversion of Sportzone stores in Spain to the Sprinter model, which meant that we had those stores closed for a number of weeks. In any case, this merger is proving to be quite positive in terms of value creation, and already this year we saw a 12 million euro positive impact in our P&L versus 2017. Regarding Sonae Sports and Fashion, the business finished the year with positive evolutions in all its key indicators. Production surpassed the 1 billion threshold, an increase of 23% versus 2017. Turnover increased 27% year-on-year to 31 million euros, and underlying EBITDA almost doubled to 5.7 million euros. This strong performance was underpinned, obviously, by the Universo credit card, as it continues to enhance its role in the payments market with, I would say, impressive figures for an operation that was launched just 3 years ago. Universo practically reached 750,000 cards, and according to our estimates, it is already top three in the credit card payments market with a 13% market share in December. Also reported under financial services is MDS through the equity method, consolidation method. This is our JV in the insurance brokerage sector, which also had a very positive year. Total revenues grew by 9% to 59 million euros and EBITDA by 30% to 9 million euros. Sonae Investment Management, at this subholding, this subholding continued to be very active in terms of its portfolio development. In Q4, we had strong M&A activity in this company with several investments, namely in retail technology and cybersecurity, where we continue to build a leading presence in Europe. In terms of portfolio development, this was also an important year regarding asset disposals or reductions in stake, namely with the sale of the indirect participation in OutSystems, which, as you know, produced very significant capital gains for Sonae. But we also had significant increases in valuation in several other assets in the portfolio. Already in 2019, Sonae Investment Management entered into an agreement to exit Safety, one of its longest-held portfolio companies, through a management buyout. In operational terms, Sonae M's total turnover reached 155 million euros in 2018, an increase of 23% year-on-year, with growth in all opcos. And underlying EBITDA grew 2 million euros to 6.6 million euros, which equates to a margin of 4.3%. Regarding Sonae Tierra, the business showed a very positive operational performance throughout 2018. In terms of management accounts, which are expressed on a proportional basis and are therefore different from the statutory figures which we consolidate into Sonae's accounts, we saw a quite positive operational performance with EBIT increase of 2.9 million euros to 108 million euros. Direct results increased 3% year-on-year to 67 million euros, supported by a strong performance of the whole portfolio and also of the services division. Regarding its capital recycling strategy, Sonae Sierra sold almost 600 million euros worth of assets in 2018 and is expected to further execute on this strategy in 2019. In what regards development of new assets, Sonae Tierra opened the Fashion City outlet in Greece in Q4, and it continued to work on the expansion of North Shopping and the designer outlet in Malaga. And already in 2019, Sonae Tierra opened the first shopping center in its first shopping center in Colombia, in Cucuta. Last but not least, I would like to mention Sonae Tierra's NAV, which stood at 1.5 billion euros at the end of the year, a 22.5 million euro increase versus 2017, despite the dividends paid and the adverse currency impacts in Brazil. Finally, NOSH. NOSH, as you know, released its full-year results already on March the 8th. So I would only highlight that the company showed, again, a good set of results, with a particularly strong performance from the telco business. Operating revenues amounted to 1.6 billion euros, 1.1% year-on-year growth. EBITDA improved 2.8% year-on-year to 592 million euros, underpinned by operational leverage and also important cost discipline measures. Net results stood at 141 million euros, a 16% increase year-on-year, and free cash flow reached 180 million euros. Net debt to EBITDA remains at a conservative level of 1.8 times, while dividends increased by 17% versus the year before. So overall, and going on to the consolidated view of our accounts, we ended a year, I would say an eventful year, with strong growth and an increase in profitability. Total consolidated turnover reached 6 billion euros, an 8.1% increase year on year, supported by growth in all our businesses. Underlying EBITDA totaled 372 million euros, improving 8.4% year on year, which means a stable margin of 6.3%. EBITDA increased by a higher amount, by a higher percentage, 27%, to 483 million euros, fueled by capital gains from both Sonae Sierra's sale of assets and also Sonae RP's sale and leaseback transactions, as well as higher contributions from equity method consolidated businesses, namely NOSH and ISRG, which I mentioned before. All in all, net income surpassed 220 million euros, a 34% increase versus 2017, with a particularly positive evolution from direct income, which increased 58% to 209 million euros. Regarding our capital structure, in a year with important movements in our portfolio, we ended the year with a net debt of 1.3 billion euros, highly influenced by the 20% stake acquisition of Sonae Sierra. On a like-for-like basis, net debt continued its decreasing path, having reduced 17% year-on-year. Our capital structure was further reinforced and is now financed by 71% of equity, which means our gearing levels further decreased to 0.5 times. Given this set of results and according to our dividend policy, the payment of a gross dividend of 4.41 cents per share will be proposed in the next shareholders' meeting, at 5% above last year, representing a dividend yield of 5.4% based on the closing share price at the end of the year. And this also represents a payout ratio of 42% of the consolidated direct results. So with this set of strong results, I must say that we are quite confident for 2019, which will be an important year to consolidate the group's performance, particularly given the recent changes in the portfolio and also, as you know, the election of a new board of directors. Sonae will remain committed to its mission and to its strategy, and will continue to be focused on unlocking value across the portfolio while generating benefits to society at large. I will now end this brief overview of our 2018 results and invite you to ask questions. You can please open the session to Q&A.
Thank you, participants. As a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question or make a comment, please press star followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel that request, please press the hash key. Thank you. We'll now take our first question. It comes from the line of Philippe Arosa from Haitong Bank. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. So three questions for me, if I may. The first one on Sonae IMC. I would like if you could just give us some color on the evolution of the EBITDA margin. It was flat year on year in the year. But could you explain us a little bit what was the impact in terms of promotional intensity, whether there has been a deterioration or it has been stable, and the impact from expansion, okay, whether it has already been more neutral this year or whether it was still negative when comparing with 2017. And Also providing a little bit how you see these two moving parts moving into 2019, okay? In terms of promotional intensity, taking into account that there will be a new player in the second half of the year. And regarding this, the store openings, whether it should be incrementally a positive versus 2018, given that you have more and more stores that are approaching maturity levels, okay? My second question relates to the recently approved REITs regime in Portugal, whether you could give us an idea or whether how can Sonae benefit from this new regime, both in terms of retail properties and at Sierra, okay, taking into account that I believe that you have almost 2 billion euros in commercial real estate in Portugal, whether this new regime could help you monetize or at least try to save some corporate taxes in this process. And finally, in terms of capital allocation, okay, last year you tried to place a stake in your food retail business. Going into 2019, is this still something that you will try to do it? What are you considering on that front? So those would be my three questions. Thank you very much.
Okay. So I will first ask Rui to cover the IMC questions, then I will hand it over to Luis to cover the REITs question, and then I will cover the last one at the end.
Hi, Philip. This is Rui Almeida speaking. Regarding the first question, regarding the questions due to margins, in 2018, we were flat in terms of margins, in EBITDA margin at IMC. The reasons were pretty much the same. Comparing, well, at least we didn't have much evolution in terms of incremental commercial aggressivity in terms of promotional activity here in Portugal. We stood at the level of 45, 47, 48, 46% in terms of promotional activity in our company. And in fact, what we did also is we had the impact of the new stores we launched during 2018. But as we were considering in the when we were having the IPO process for the prospectus, we were assuming and we were expecting to have a broadly a stable margin, and we did. It's pretty much what we have. And in fact, what we also had, it was a very positive figure in terms of sales. We grew aggressively in terms of market share, and in terms also in terms of like for like, which was very positive for the company. Going forward, we are, as we stated also in the prospectus for the IPO process, the team, the management team, ambitions to maintain broadly stable the levels of margins going forward. That's what we stated, and we continue to ambition those figures for the company.
Thank you.
Very good. Felipe, it's Luis here from Sona Sierra. I mean, in terms of the Portuguese REIT regime, we see it as a positive, of course, that there is a REIT regime in Portugal. It's a positive not only for the capital markets, but also for the real estate sector and for the economy in general. We have been looking and assessing the REIT regime in quite a bit of detail, and we are encouraged by the potential benefits that we see that are applicable to Sierra. Having said that, there are some unknowns currently in the regime, particularly around the actual composition of what could be included in the CG, but also specific tax aspects. And once these specific aspects have been clarified, I think we would be in a better position to be more specific about what it is we can do and we can't do.
Okay, regarding the capital allocation question and the IPO of Sun IMC, I think I'm going to restate some things we've said before. Although we did not conclude the transaction, we feel that Sun IMC, the balance is positive because we made Sun IMC a company which is more prepared for the future. In terms of its autonomy, agility, governance model. And so we are quite happy with that aspect of the transformation that we were able to execute at the company. As we said before, we still feel that the strategic merits of the transaction are valid for Sonae. But we are quite comfortable in holding our investment in Sun IMC, and we will not do a transaction which destroys value at the end of the day for the group. So we do not have right now any short-term plans, again, to bring back the operation to market in the future. All options will be on the table for this and other assets in the portfolio.
Thank you very much to you all.
Our next question is from the line of Joao Pinto from JB Capital Markets. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. Three, if I might. The first one is on IMC. You reported 11 net openings of Bondia stores. If I'm not mistaken, you had guided for 18 openings for this year. This difference is related to delays or to closures? If it is related to delays, can we assume that you intend now to open more stores than the guidance provided for the next couple of years? My second question on sports and fashion, you are closing Berg. Could you please update us on your plans for other underperforming brands in sports and fashion? Is more divestment is a possibility? And finally, on Arnau, just to confirm, Arnau is not included in the guidance provided for adjacent formats during the IPO, right? How many stores do you plan to open in Spain? And do you have any specific targets you aim to reach? And finally, can you tell us the network sales in 2018? Thank you.
Okay, so I will ask Rui to cover the MC questions and then Miguel Moreira to cover the sports and fashion bear question.
Let's start by the number of stores that we opened during 2018. Yes, when we gave some guidances for the number of stores that we will open in 2018, we stated that we were not counting with the two stores that we closed during the first semester of 2018. And the remaining stores that justifies the fact that we were not able to open 18 stores during 2018 were justified by the fact that we were a little bit delayed. And in fact, we have already opened those stores in the first quarter of 2019. Regarding the Arnau figures, those figures we are anticipating that probably this year we ended up having 42. We have this moment 42 stores of Arnau in the north of Spain. We expect to open more than 5 stores this year, and in 2018 the company was able to have a turnover of above 100 million euros. And I think that's basically what you asked regarding Arnau.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, regarding sports and fashion, we decided to close Berg, and it was the only adjustment that we had planned for the portfolio. Regarding all the other brands, we don't have plans for any other adjustments. All the other brands are major and well-established in the market. We have clear long-term strategies for that brand, and we will continue to focus on our attention and our energy in those brands and developing those brands.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question is from Jose Rito from CaixaBank. Your line is open.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. So, my first question on the food retail, I think that Rui mentioned that you had relevant market share increases last year. Could you provide how much was in percentile points the increase in the market share? Also in food retail, if you can comment on a recently news that mentioned that Mercadona is said to be applying everyday low price strategy in Portugal, and considering that you just mentioned that 45-46% of sales in Portugal are under promotion, what you think about this, and if you think this will be a little bit more positive from a competition point of view for the second half versus the entry in which Mercadona will be also applied discounts. Thirdly, on Sierra, we saw some news commenting on a possible consolidation in Brazil involving Sierra. Just to understand a little bit, what is your long-term thinking on your stake in Brazil? Could Sierra consider, after a possible M&A, to exit and divest from these assets, or do you think this is a long-term holding for the company? And finally, on the company's leverage, you have not provided the impact from the new accounting rule related with operating leases. You mentioned in the release that you should do in the short term, but net debt EBITDA could stand above 4 times adjusted for these. Is still the company comfortable with its debt structure? Thanks.
Well, right. I just asked you to the first question. According to our research, we increased market share by 30 basis points in Portuguese markets. And regarding the Mercadona, we respect a lot Mercadona. It is a new player coming to the Portuguese market. Sure that Mercadona will apply for the Portuguese market different value proposal that he's offering today in the Spanish market. We need to see, we need to test, we need to analyze, and then we come up having a very better diagnosis regarding what the Mercadona intends to do in the Portuguese market. But for now, we think it continues to be too soon to give you a proper answer.
Okay, thank you. So do you think that Mercadona will basically apply also discounts in Portugal?
Frankly, it's too soon to give you a proper answer. Frankly, I don't know.
Okay.
Very good. In relation to Sierra Brazil, there isn't much more in terms of capital markets that we can say in relation to the actual merger. The company made a statement today around that specific issue, and bearing in mind that the company is listed. In terms of Sierra's long-term position around Brazil, Brazil is a market we like. Sierra Brazil is a business we like. It's a business that has been in our portfolio for a very long time. It's a business that has had a really good performance over the last couple of years and is going through good current trading momentum. Obviously, the depreciation of the Brazilian real doesn't help, but it's an asset which has a strategic nature for Sierra. Having said that, we are active portfolio managers. We are active capital recyclers. So every capital market transaction is on the table at any time, always. So we tend to be and will continue to be active about our portfolio.
Okay, thank you. Can you update in terms of views of for the yields evolution going forward for the overall countries?
All right. I mean, it's a tricky question. And I personally don't like to give guidance on things which I can't really control or which don't only depend on me. And I'll break it down into two buckets. One around fundamentals. So if yields were purely driven by fundamentals, we're seeing a very good momentum in our portfolio across the board. We're seeing good occupancy rates, good trading momentum, pretty much across most geographies. So from a fundamental point of view, things are progressing very well. However, there's a sentiment mainly coming from the Anglo-Saxon markets, which is not more than a sentiment which has been probably a bit exaggerated, and we're feeling it in a bit exaggerated way across the board. But in our experience, the way we go around the sentiment is by sitting down with the different investors and by explaining to them the structural and cultural differences of the Portuguese market, exactly what it is we're doing in our shopping centers and what makes them different from the generalizations that happen in the Anglo-Saxon market. So it's overall a difficult question to answer because there are really two different winds pushing in two different directions.
Okay, but at least in terms of recent transaction yields, are you seeing any, let's say, stabilization or declines, or are still increasing? In this case, expanding the yields.
The yields, let me put it this way, the transactions we've made were in line with our expectations, and I really can't give much more guidance than that.
Okay.
Okay, José, regarding leverage, as you said, we will obviously be disclosing the impact in our accounts of IFRS 16, which are relevant as for many other companies which have businesses in the sectors in which we operate. And we will have, obviously, we will give full disclosure and total transparency as to what the impacts are. Having said this, I said before that we are quite comfortable with our leverage level. We have a conservative capital structure. And as this is merely an accounting impact with no cash impact on our accounts, no economic value really, our view still stands. And so we will still have a conservative level of leverage after we apply an accounting standard to our accounts.
Okay, so you don't expect any change in terms of perception?
No. No, and we know that all stakeholders that work with us will also be of that view because this is merely an accounting impact with no cash or economic relevance.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And our final question is from Tim Attenborough from Santander. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon all. Just a couple from me. First, can I just go back to what Jao was asking, can we still assume a run rate of about 20 Bompier stores per annum going forward for the next couple of years as a new opening plan? Secondly, on MC as well, online, can you give us an absolute figure for sales? And you talk about average ticket size increasing. What is the average ticket size there? Lastly, just can you give us a CapEx view for 2019, please, including Sierra? That would be helpful. I'll leave it at those three. Thanks.
Hi, Tim. Regarding some IMC, 20 spots per year, yes. So our ambition is to maintain that pace going forward in the next couple of years. Regarding Continent Online figures from the online business, unfortunately, I'm not allowed, or we cannot give you figures regarding the ticket average ticket for the company. It's something that we are not giving the market. And regarding the CapEx, I think that the information is from Sonai Share, if I understood correctly.
No, I can cover that one.
Sorry.
Well, we do not give guidance. We will not give guidance on CapEx. What I can tell you is that the level of CapEx we had this year obviously is quite extraordinary, which because it includes the acquisition of a 20% stake in Sonai Sierra. In 2019, what I can tell you is that we will continue to invest in all our businesses significantly to maintain our value propositions, our competitive positions, and also to ensure that we seize opportunities for growth.
Okay, that's clear. Thanks a lot.
Participants, once again, if you do wish to ask a question or make a comment, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We've just had another question from the line of Felipe Rosa from Haitong Bank. Your line is open.
Hi again. So just one more for me. Regarding electronics, okay. So after 3 years of very strong performance in terms of sales and in terms of margin recovery, this year we have had a stabilization of the margin and still a quite strong top-line performance. Just if you could update us a little bit on how do you see the outlook for 2019. I know you don't give guidance, but it seems like it was a little bit disappointing that with such a strong improvement of sales per square meter, you were not able to improve again your profitability. Could you try to explain what happened in 2000? Sorry? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
No problem.
I can hear you, but apparently you are not hearing me.
No, we were not hearing you. Can you please go again, Philippe? Sorry.
Yeah, so I'll try to make it shorter. No, basically try to understand the moving parts of the evolution of the margin in 2018 for electronics, for Vorten. Basically, very strong top-line performance, very strong evolution of sales per square meter, but no operating leverage. And basically trying to understand what could be the outlook for the next couple of years based on what happened in 2018. Okay, how do you see what happened and what do you expect to happen over the next couple of years? Thank you very much.
Hi, Philippe. This is Miguel Aguas. So not providing, as you said, not providing guidance for the future, I can tell you that in 2018, as you said, we had a strong performance in turnover and in like-for-like growth. We did have, especially on the fourth quarter, some investment in terms of gross margin, given the increased weight of the Black Friday phenomenon, both in Portugal as well as in Spain. That did take a bit of a hit in terms of our gross margin. And on top of that, and as we have said before, Vorten is in the process of strong digital transformation that entails increased investment and increased costs dedicated and resources dedicated to that transformation, namely on IT. And that has been also a contributor to the stable margin levels that we had. As you said, there was no operating leverage. I would say that there was, but it was sort of consumed by both the Black Friday effect and the added investment on the IT front. I would say, I mean, going forward, we maintain our ambition to pursue a strong transformation in our business model, being increasingly more digital, and therefore our investments going forward will be more and more dedicated to technology and to the transformation of our business processes. And as regards for other elements of the business, I would not go into guidance considerations.
But can you just trying to follow up? Do you think that what happened in 2018 could happen again in 2019 because you still need to allocate more resources to the business, so any scale gains that you could have would continue to be reinvested into the business, basically into this digital transition? Or do you think that, okay, 2018 was an exception, and so if in 2019 you continue to have some solid like-for-like growth, you could kick in again some operating leverage in over the next couple of years? It could benefit from that operating leverage.
Philippe, I hope you understand that we are not going to provide that much color on the future. We do expect, in any case, that future investments to be increasingly focused on digital transformation, and therefore that part of resource allocation will definitely increase. But most likely there will also be a reduction in other resource commitments that we used to allocate to, I would say, more traditional physical business. But that being said, I would rather not go into quantifying or give you more color than this going forward.
Thank you very much. Very clear. Thank you.
In the Q1 results call. Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you all for participating, and you may now disconnect.